Good Morning Liberty.
Well, what is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. My name is Nate Thurston, and across from me is an empty seat. Charlie's not here today. It's just me. A lot of stuff going on here around the house. If I do decide to put this video up on YouTube, you'll see that we had to take the lights down because people are coming to take pictures because this house is going on the market and our studio is going on the market. So some stuff had to get taken apart. But whatever, you guys don't care about that. This is Good Morning Liberty. We talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to. If it is your first time listening, go back a couple episodes and listen to when there's two of us talking. That's way better. You got 1,221 episodes to catch up with. So good luck with that. Once you listen to all those, then come back and try to get caught up with what's going on right now. I've got, I think, three topics to talk about, and I'll try to make it brief. We'll be playing the video of Joe Biden's press conference from yesterday, or at least 10 seconds of it, because it was hilarious, and it deserves to be played over and over again and dissected over and over again. We'll talk about the TikTok potential ban and what that means. We'll also talk about this situation at in Texas at UT Austin, where a bunch of protesters were arrested, confusing as to whether or not nonviolent protesters need to be arrested. I see a lot of opinions going back and forth on that. We'll talk about that real quick. And let's see. Maybe if we have time, we'll talk about the non-compete rule that the FTC just came out with and the effects that could have on employment and the economy. If there's time. So first off, let's play this video of Joe Biden. I'm sure you saw it, but we need to pause for just a second to play this for all of you if you haven't seen it. This is the current president of the United States of America. And this is what he had to say. It would help if I turn the sound on. There we go.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years. Four more years.
Yeah. He said the quiet pause out loud. And that video has been going around quite a bit. And, here's the deal. Joe Biden's super old. He's also the president. He's also running for re-election right now. We know this. We know these things. Why do I find this to be so important, other than the fact that it's funny, and so therefore we should play it and we should make fun of him? This guy is not there. You could say, well, how crazy is it that he sees the word pause on the teleprompter? And, of course, they would put it in brackets. More than likely, it's something that he's not supposed to say out loud. And he still says it out loud anyway, because he doesn't remember what he was saying beforehand. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. He doesn't understand why he's up on a stage at a podium in front of people. And so they say pause to try and tell him, after you just said this line, wait a second. We've planted some people in the audience that have been told that they have to start chanting four more years, or we're going to put them in prison or something like that. I don't know. And so you could say, well, that's ridiculous that he said that. And then I say, how ridiculous is it that you have to put the pause in the teleprompter in the first place? I mean, that's a level deeper. They know that he has no clue what he's saying. He has no idea. He's not actually comprehending the words that are coming out of his mouth. He's not present in the moment. He's present back when his uncle got shot down and eaten by cannibals or something like that. Like, that's the reality that he's living in. He has no clue what's going on right now. And they know that. And we know that. And the media knows that. And the people in the crowd know that. But then the one thing that they also know is that he's not Donald Trump, and that's what all most of what them care about. But the fact that you even have to put a pause in there, that this human being, this man who's the leader of the most powerful country on earth, that you got to put that in there in the first place to let him know that right now would be a good time to let the previous line have some impact, that is all made up, that those dramatic pauses in a speech don't even happen because the person speaking thought it should be there, or that they cared enough about what they just had to say that they should take a pause and let that sink in. It's pretty bad, folks. It's not a good thing. So that's our topic number one for today. I tell you what, the way things have been going recently, you know, I started to think that maybe Trump was going to win the election. I was going to say re-election, but you know the thing. I started to think that. I'm not so sure anymore. I'm starting to see the Biden campaign really mobilizing and doing a lot of saying that they're going to do a lot of things that people care about, even if many of them don't actually end up getting done. And his opponent is locked up in a trial right now, 4 days a week. Can't go do anything. Got to sit there and listen to people talk all day. It's a pretty bold election strategy. This is actual election interference, if I've ever seen it. I mean, they didn't have to wait until the actual election year, the actual campaign season, to bring these charges. They've had all of this information this whole time. Why is it that all these cases came out to where they would all be timed for the election season? Everyone knows that Trump is better at speaking to people, than Joe Biden is. Everyone knows this. He commands bigger crowds. He commands the crowd. A lot of people come out there to see him all over the country. And he can't do that right now because he's in a trial. And I think that this is clearly an election campaign tactic for Biden and for those who do not want to see Donald Trump win re-election. That's all I had to say. That's all I had to say about that. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, how's your social battery doing right now? Is yours drained like mine? Or maybe you're one of those people that's bursting with energy all the time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone like me. Well, therapy can give you self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've done therapy in the past, and I will say it was very helpful, helped me get through a lot of things and made me a much better person on the other side. And Charlie, our co-host, has used BetterHelp in the past, and he loved it as well. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. All right, what's the next topic we have on here? Let's talk about the TikTok thing while we're talking about the election and Joe Biden. So Biden did sign that bill, had the Ukraine funding, Israel funding, all that stuff in it. It also had this TikTok divestment or ban thing in it. But I noticed something, and other people have noticed this thing as well. When it was coming through the House, they had 6 months to do this. Now, I don't support the TikTok ban or the TikTok force divestment. I think it's very anti-American to do such a thing, to force a company to sell their company to someone else. I don't believe that sort of thing should exist in the free market or from a country who is supposed to be championing the free market. No matter what you had to say about TikTok or China, I don't think it's the right principle for us to set. We'll talk more about that here in a bit and how this is actually going to be used against American companies later in the future, like X, of course. But we'll go from NBC News here. They say, tucked inside the $95 billion national security package that Joe Biden signed Wednesday is a provision that could ban TikTok with an important catch. It won't happen before the 2024 election. That means TikTok, which boasts 170 million American users, will remain a force throughout the campaign, providing a platform for candidates to reach predominantly younger voters. An earlier version of the bill could have banned the popular video sharing app prior to the election, but recent changes mean lawmakers and Biden may not face such an immediate voter backlash. Think about this for a second. This is an election tactic right here. They say that TikTok is super dangerous for our national security. So dangerous that we have to either force the company that owns it, who is undoubtedly, at the end of the day, controlled by the CCP. I get it. I get the arguments. We have to force them to sell this because China's dangerous and they're doing all these dangerous things. Getting Americans' data, location data, who knows what all they're getting from people's phones. We got to get this propaganda data stealing app off of people's phones. We have to get it owned by an American company that's controlled by the US government. That way they can do all the things that China's currently doing with all of that data. Except it's not important enough that they should do it at the six month time horizon. What they noticed was that that would have set them up to potentially ban TikTok and to have this fight in the courts and potentially ban TikTok before the election. And what did they notice? Well, a lot of young people use TikTok, and we need young people to come out and vote for us. And so therefore, we don't want to have this on people's minds before the election. So what do? They move it back to either 9 or 12 months, because there is a potential extension of 90 days. So it could be up until next April, well after the election. So what about the argument that this app is so dangerous for our national security that we have to force the company that owns it to sell it, or we have to ban it from being on people's phones? Is that the truth? Is that the actual truth? Doesn't seem like it to me, because they want to make sure that they win the election first, because they know it will be a very unpopular thing that could happen. So I think that whole national security argument is BS, for sure BS. I want to go to Pete Ricketts, one of our favorite senators from Nebraska. Never heard of this guy. Should probably do a better job looking at senators. I don't know. You guys ever heard of Pete Ricketts before? U.S. Senator, Republican from Nebraska. There's only 100 of these people. You think that there wouldn't be that many names that we don't know of, but apparently this is one of them. I'm sorry, Nebraska. I just never found it to be that important. Here's Pete Ricketts, Petey Ricketts, talking about people getting their news from TikTok. This is when they're talking about this this bill that they're signing.
Look what's happening at our college campuses right now in this country. Pro-Hamas activists are taking over public spaces and making it impossible for campuses to operate. Jewish students are being told to leave campus because their universities can't guarantee their safety. There are a lot of other things wrong with this, including the failure to prioritize student safety over appeasement of terrorist sympathizers. But why is this happening? Well, let's look at where young people are getting their news. Nearly a third of adults 18 to 29, these young people in the U.S., are regularly getting their news exclusively from TikTok. Pro-Palestinian and Hamas, pro-Hamas hashtags are generating 50 times the views on TikTok right now, despite the fact that polling shows Americans overwhelmingly support Israel over Hamas. These videos have more reach than the top 10 U.S. news websites combined. This is not coincidence. The Chinese Communist Party is doing this on purpose. They are pushing this racist agenda with the intention of undermining our democratic values. And if you look at what's happening at Columbia University and other campuses across the country right now, they're winning.
So this guy, Senator Ricketts from Nebraska, thinks that one of the reasons we should ban TikTok, or at least force it into American government corporation controlled ownership, is that it's where a lot of young people are getting their news. And you can link this to all of the college campus protests and all that. Listen, I don't support a lot of the things that these protesters support. I don't support their violation of property rights or anything like that. I also don't think it's crazy to think that China would be intentionally trying to destabilize the country. He also does something really stupid with data right there, where he talks about how this is how many young people get their news from TikTok, 18 to 29. And he says these hashtags are flourishing. And he says, despite the fact that Americans overwhelmingly support Israel. So Young people are getting their news from TikTok, and young people are spreading these hashtags despite the fact that everyone, including all ages in the entire United States, not just young people, overwhelmingly support Israel. You're just compared two different data sets, dude. That's not a good thing to do. I do not support the idea that you should ban TikTok because it's the way that people are spreading information that you don't like. That is an argument for banning any number of things, depending on what your point of view is. Why wouldn't people use this to talk about X or to talk about Facebook if the situation were dire enough in the future? You think it will never get to that point? Think there's no way that they would possibly use this against X? We've been talking about that since they started talking about the TikTok ban. The language is very vague. They talk about companies that are directly or indirectly controlled by China. They don't define what indirectly could potentially mean, which leaves me wondering, does indirectly count the fact that many people that are invested in X have ties to China or are Chinese, or that Elon Musk himself, the person who purchased Twitter for $44 billion, that he has very strong financial ties to China because of Tesla. Could they ever use that and say that he is indirectly controlled by China and that whatever narrative X, no pun intended, is being spread on this platform, despite the fact that Americans overwhelmingly support this other thing instead? Well, maybe he wouldn't say that because it's not what he thinks, but what about people who have a D next to their name instead of an R next to their name? The problem with giving the government this kind of power is that you're also giving that power to other people who do not have the same values that you have. It's very simple to see. It's why we're in the position that we're in right now. Justin Amash says, the TikTok legislation, which Biden just signed into law, is about limiting and controlling speech. The point is to intimidate U.S. owners of social media companies with a threat of forced divestment if they don't comply with unlawful government demands. Play ball or face accusations, you're subject to the direction or control of a foreign adversary. The next administration must work with Congress to repeal it. I don't have a lot of hope for that being the case, even though Trump has positioned himself as being against the TikTok ban. I think that that has a lot to do with the election and the fact that he thought, like what the House bill said, was that this was going to happen before the election. I think he was trying to position himself as the person who was against it for all of the young people that were going to be mad about it. But let's not forget that Trump also tried to ban TikTok. So I don't have a lot of hope that the next administration, whether it be Biden especially, or whether it be Trump, is going to do anything about this. I think Trump would love to have this kind of control over these platforms. Not to mention, he happens to own another rival social media platform, so I don't exactly think that that's going to help. But maybe the next administration will do something about that. TikTok, by the way, sounds like they don't plan on selling. They're going to take this to court, and they're going to try to win. And they might win. I don't know if this is going to be found to be constitutional for the government to force a company to sell an app. I don't think that's going to be the case, which could just lead to a ban potentially. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out in the courts. Listen, I don't like TikTok really, except for the fact that I've already spent like an hour on TikTok today. I don't like the idea of TikTok, but I will use TikTok because we have used TikTok to try and grow our platform, and it used to be very viable for doing that. I haven't been using TikTok to actually scroll and watch videos for quite a long time until I happened to open the app and a HoMath video came up on there today, and it was hilarious. So then I spent like half an hour watching HoMath, and if you guys haven't listened to that, then you should check it out. And girls also, if you haven't listened to that, please do. I never found it important because I don't have the type of situations or problems that are talked about on the channel, just to be clear, just so anyone who could potentially see this in the future hears that and gets upset. I just want to make that clear right now, babe. Before we continue, as you know, our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. It's your metal and you're in control. Monetary Metals originates and thoroughly qualifies any opportunity before it's listed on their platform. If you don't like an opportunity, simply opt out. Imagine trying to do that with your bank. By the way, you wouldn't be able to do it. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over the spot price, or you can use the gold that you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. So opt out of the dollar, the central bankers, the fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get on your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. It's an honest return on honest money the way it's supposed to be. Visit monetary-metals.com/GML. That's monetary-metals.com/GML for more information or to get started opening your account. Okay, the next topic that we're going to talk about. Greg Abbott. Here's a tweet from Greg Abbott. So they had these protests at UT Austin, or they tried to have these protests. They tried to have an encampment, and this was shut down immediately. Arrests being made right now will continue until the crowd disperses. These protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests at any public college or university in Texas should be expelled. So, very nuanced conversation here about whether or not these protests should be quelled and people should be arrested. If you are doing it on the basis that you do not like the things that people are saying, then I completely disagree with that. If that is your basis, if it would have been a different protest and they're protesting against taxation or they're protesting against trans athletes competing against women or whatever in sports, and you would have been like, okay, that's fine. Well, then that's a problem. If you're saying they belong in jail because they're saying things that you deem to be anti-Semitic or that these are hate-filled protests, that's not a good reason. Free speech is for saying things that people don't like. That's why it's very important. Different people like different things. It's very important that we protect free speech, even if it's speech that you don't like. In fact, especially if it's speech that you don't like. That is the speech that needs to be protected. On the flip side, when it comes to these protests, let me see if there's a video real quick, and we'll see what happened here at UT Austin. So I think it's very important when you see situations like this to try and remove, like, let's say that I disagree with what some of these people are saying and I don't like what they're protesting about. Now, if they're purely protesting about the fact that they disagree with this war and that innocent people are being killed and they're anti-war protesters, okay, then I agree with the things that they're protesting about. Are they true anti-war protesters? Do they care as much about Iraqis being killed or people in Afghanistan or Syria? Are they protesting about Yemen? Are they protesting about the civil war in Libya? Are they protesting about the actions that the government has taken or the money that the colleges have put towards different programs when it comes to those people being killed? I think probably not, because I haven't seen this a ton, although we did have a lot of anti-war protests back when the Iraq war was started, back in 03, 04, stuff like that. There were people that came out against that, and I probably thought that they were crazy at that time because I was a neocon, turned the sand in the glass kind of person at that time. I don't think that these are just purely anti-war protesters who care about human life. I think that there's something deeper. I think that they care about the victimhood hierarchy and anti-colonialism, anti-whateverism that they're upset about. I think they see that there are oppressors and oppressed, and that is actually what they are upset about right now, because there are a lot of instances of people being killed all around the globe that people are not actually that upset about, it seems, anyway. Now, does any of what I just said matter in the context of should you be able to protest? Should the police come in if you have done nothing that is violent or whatever? Should they be able to come in and wipe out your protests? Well, maybe this is too complicated and nuanced of a situation. What if, for people listening here, what if this was an anti-lockdown protest and it happened during the summer or the spring of 2020? If this was an anti-lockdown, what if it's April 15th and this is an anti-taxation protest that people are having? Well, okay, maybe you're like, well, I sort of agree a little bit more with what these people are doing out there. I don't want the cops to stop this protest because what they're protesting about is very important. See, we just set up a situation where we could be hypocritical when we're talking about this because we care about free speech rights. And even if we disagree with the things that these people are talking about, we should protect their right to talk about those things just like we want to protect other people's rights to talk about the things that we care about. But there's another side about that, about this. There's a such thing as property rights. There's a such thing as the fact that this is a campus of a college, a state college, which makes it slightly more complicated, a public college, which makes it slightly more complicated, of course, a little bit easier when you're talking about a private college. But colleges still have rules on their campus. They still have rules about what activities people can do on their campuses. And I do wish that this was a private college. It would make it a lot easier to talk about than if it were a public college, but whatever. So should you still have to follow the rules when you go on to someone else's property, property that you maybe don't own, property that someone else is paying for and maintaining? Can you just do whatever you want, or can people set rules as to what you can and can't do on that property? Can you go on there and prevent people from moving freely while they're on the campus? Can you set up in a field where there are specific rules about who can be on this field or in this yard at specific times? And we have rules and code of conduct about that, and you decide that you're going to set up tents and do whatever and hold whatever protests you want, or a sit-in or a camp-in or whatever you want to call it. Can you just do that regardless of what the rules are? The answer there is no, that there are rules when you have property involved. These people can say what they want, but you can't also violate other rules at the same time. So that's where this starts to get a little bit more complicated. All right. I wanted to go into some of the things they're talking. Now, this comes from the actual university here. And I haven't seen any actual instances of, you know, violence or assaults or anything that took place, other than altercations that took place with the police when they came there to disperse the crowd and arrest people. So there, it seems to be a nonviolent protest, right? But if your protest is nonviolent, does that mean that you can just go anywhere onto anyone's property and hold a nonviolent protest? I don't know. 2020 seemed to be okay with that, you know, but technically, against the rules, right? Depending on what the rules are in a given place. You're paying to be there, though. These are students. They pay to be there. Doesn't that mean that they can do anything they want? No, not really. If I buy a movie ticket, can I go into the movie theater and just do anything I want while I'm in there, running back and forth in the aisles with my shirt off, making a bunch of noise, holding up signs, blocking people from watching the movie? Can I do that? I paid to be there, just like everyone else. They paid for the same thing that I did. And so I have every right to go in there and do whatever I want. No, you can't do that. There's rules about stuff, all right? So when people are saying, oh, these nonviolent protesters should never be arrested or whatever, well, there's rules about whether or not they can be there. They refuse to follow those. They're asked to leave and they don't leave. just because you're being nonviolent doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want anywhere that you want to do it. Those are not the rules. I'm sorry. But let's hear from the president of the campus. See what's going on. University of Texas President Jay Hartzell emailed the campus community Wednesday night after around 50 people were arrested earlier in the day during a peaceful pro-Palestinian protest at UT organized by the Palestine Solidarity Committee, a registered student organization. If you're registered as a student organization, can you pitch tents and hold a tent in or a camp or whatever it is you want to do, create your own autonomous zone because you're a student organization? No, guarantee you, there's rules. You probably agreed to those rules when you signed up to go to that college. You didn't have to go there. You weren't forced to go there. And when you decided to go there, you decided that you were also going to follow the rules. Guarantee you signed about 1,000 documents saying that you were going to follow those. Today, this is a quote from the president of the university. Today, our university held firm, enforcing our rules while protecting the constitutional right to free speech, Hartzell said. Peaceful protests within our rules are acceptable. Breaking our rules and policies and disrupting others' ability to learn are not allowed. The group that led this protest stated it was going to violate institutional rules. Our rules matter, and they will be enforced. For context, protesters in a post on Instagram said they intended to occupy the lawn in front of the UT Tower in solidarity with the protesters at Columbia and other campuses across the nation to demand their universities stop investing in Israeli weapons. We should probably stop paying our taxes then. Maybe that's the place that you should start. Oh, you don't pay taxes. Okay, I got you. The protest at UT was met with an immediate large police force on horseback, bikes, and foot sent by both UT and Governor Greg Abbott. This is a public university. Police let the protesters march, guiding them in the opposite direction of the UT Tower for about 45 minutes before ordering them to disband at 12:30 p.m. when protesters regathered at the Speedway Mall chanting Free Palestine. Despite some organizers repeating officers' call to disperse to avoid being arrested, police began making the first arrest. Hartzell said, our university will not be occupied. So when it comes to these protests, I keep seeing people post and even libertarians post out about how nonviolent, peaceful protest is allowed, First Amendment, you shouldn't be arresting these people. Now, the fact that this is a public university, I'll be 100% honest with you right now, I don't know what exactly the protest rules are. I guarantee you there's been tons of cases litigated on this about what the rules are about protesting, but this place does still have rules about who can be where when on their campus, and everyone there signed up for those rules when they freely chose to go to this place. And so as long as they are following whatever rules that they laid out that people voluntarily signed up to adhere to when they decided to go to this university, then that's okay by me. When the police come in, because there's so many people there, and they say, hey, we let you guys march for 45 minutes, even though we didn't have to because you're violating rules right now. It's time to go. This is property that you don't own, and it's time for you to leave. And they say, no, we're not going to leave. What do you do with that? What do you do at that point? They're standing there saying, I'm not going to leave. Peacefully, nonviolently, I'm not going to leave someone else's property. So then you say, well, they're nonviolent, therefore you can't arrest any protesters. No, because then you're not protecting property rights. Columbia is an easier one to talk about because it's a private university. This is land, a campus. It's just straight up owned by a private university. It's their land. It's not the students. Students also signed up, said they were going to follow these rules when they decided to go there. You can't just say that because people are being nonviolent, they can go anywhere and do anything they want on anyone's property, and that the people that remove them are the ones that are committing the violent acts, because they are initiating force by trespassing or violating rules and refusing to leave someone else's property. They are the ones that initiated force first. So the people that are removing them are not the ones that are violating the rights. They are the ones that violated the rights first. We cannot let this get inverted. Because what you're saying is that as long as you remain nonviolent and as long as you're saying something political and protesting about something, then you have a right to be anywhere on anyone's property nonviolently, and no one can remove you. And if someone removes you, then they've committed a violent act against you. I agree, Tactical Warlock, just following the rules. I know. I hate saying it. I've thought about it every time I said it during this episode right now. But my point about, you know, the rules, because I hate saying rules. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of rules. Also, haven't signed up for a ton of rules. And the point that I made about the fact that these people who run these campuses set up a code of conduct. They have guarantee pages and pages of rules about going to their establishment. Even though you're paying them money, they have tons of code of conduct rules about going to their establishment. And you're not forced to sign that. If you don't like what they are, you can voluntarily decide to go somewhere else. Maybe you're not going to find a lot of campuses that are just going to let you do whatever. I get it. So do you really have a choice? Well, probably 75% of these kids don't need to be going to that college in the first place because they're there getting BS degrees and they can probably make better money not going there, but whatever. You decide to follow those by signing up and going there, whatever the rules are, even if we don't like them. Even if some of their rules violate what we think are constitutional rights. Now, the constitutional rights are to stop the government from preventing you from doing things because the government has a monopoly use of violence and force. And so we have protection from the government doing these things. Private entity like Columbia, can they prevent you from speaking? I think they can. It's their property. You don't have the right to come to my property and say whatever you want. If I tell you that you have to leave, then you have to leave. If you don't leave, I will call the organization that has a monopoly on the use of force and have them remove you. And so I'm here to protect property rights. That's it right now. Last thing, I'll just go over this real quick. New FTC rule bans employee non-compete clauses in contracts. This is once again, a little nuanced thing because you hear about a lot of these non-compete contracts. And by the way, this is still a conversation about property rights currently right now because I disagree with them making this rule because once again, whatever you sign up for at a business is what you sign up for. And if you find that no one will come there because of what's in the contract, then you'll probably decide to change whatever is in that contract because you can't survive without having employees. Now, there are ridiculous instances of people like Jimmy John's or Hardee's or whatever. Name a minimum wage job that has a non-compete contract. That's ridiculous. And you know who else knows that that's ridiculous? Are those businesses because they've never gone after an employee that left there and went somewhere else. I couldn't find a single instance of it happening. If you can find one of it happening, then let me know. Those are the instances that people will use because that's ridiculous. But it hasn't been enforced. And then you'll say, well, people sign it. They don't even know what's in there. Right. They don't know what's in there. So it also doesn't affect their actions. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't prevent them from leaving that business and going to another one because they also didn't know it was in there. And the businesses also don't enforce it. And so has it actually been affecting anyone when no one knows it's in there? No one ever talked about it and no one enforces it. Okay, so that's one thing. Do they have the right to put it in their contract? Yeah, of course they have the right to put it in their contract. This is a voluntary transaction here. You're giving up your labor in exchange for money. It's a voluntary transaction. The problem that comes in here when banning non-competes is when you get up to higher level tech jobs, not even higher level tech jobs, higher pay tech jobs and higher skilled labor. For instance, we got a co-host here on this program. His name's Charles Thompson. Charles Thompson received training from a large corporation on a proprietary software that you cannot find training on anywhere. It does not exist because they own the software. They own the proprietary software. If it shows up on the internet, they will go after anyone who is allowing people to get trained on this software. He signs up to go work and he spends his first 6 months to almost a year getting proficient in this proprietary software. Now, they're not the only ones who use it. They've licensed it out to other people. But they did pay him really well, really good money to learn how to use the software. What happens after he gets this training at a high dollar amount, and he just says, okay, well, thanks for the training. I'm out of here. See you later. I'm never actually going to be productive for you. I just used you to pay me a high amount to train me to learn this software, and now I'm going to go somewhere else and use this because they're offering me $20 more an hour than you are because they don't have to pay for training because you're doing the training for them and you're paying for that like a sucker. That's a little bit, that is a little bit more of a complicated scenario. I am genuinely interested in what companies are going to do to respond to this because what I just explained to you is a very real situation. A very real situation. Are they going to accept people who they have to train? That's a good question. See, they're spinning this as this is going to raise wages for people. This is going to help people because they're going to, this is going to help poor people and everyone and women especially because somehow they're held back by this too and minorities, I bet. And so this is going to help everyone raise their wages and be great for the economy. What happens when those businesses don't want to hire people who don't have any training? You see, Charles over here got that job with no college degree, no experience in the field whatsoever. They just noticed that he was a go-getter. They noticed that he was an assertive guy. They noticed that he was a hard worker. And so they said, all right, we will train you. You will be a valuable asset for us. Will they continue to accept these people who have not gone through some type of training program first? That's a very real question. Or if they have to train someone, where they'll be that, will there be that probationary period of very, very low pay, internship almost kind of pay to get trained up on this software? That's a potential also. Like I said, I'm genuinely interested in what companies are going to do because when you get to those type of jobs where you're dealing with these proprietary systems, trade secrets, stuff like that, it is actually very important if you just become a training ground, a high-pay training ground for people who are then just going to take your money, take your training, then leave and go to another company because they're offering more because they don't have to do the training. You just become a trade school at that point in time. So, like I said, I'm interested in what's going to happen. So, let's see. Magoo said he had a former employer that heavily enforced their non-compete. Let me see. Magoo, what kind of job was that? I won't say it on air or whatever, but... okay. Yeah, that sounds BS to me. So, I think that these lower wage jobs, non-trade secret jobs, non-proprietary system jobs, it is absolutely ridiculous. I do believe that what I just presented is a very real situation. And I will not agree that it's anti-free market because it is still a voluntary transaction. And I get the argument, well, if everyone has one, is it really voluntary? That just means you can't work. Is it really voluntary to not take the vaccine when my alternative is not working? Is that actually a voluntary thing? Well, my problem there is that it was enforced by the government. When it's actually coming from the companies, I think that the free market needs to find a way to get around this whole situation. I'm not going to be in favor of them, of unelected bureaucrats and three-letter agencies enforcing rules on companies almost any amount of the time. Almost any amount of the time. Even if we can make arguments in its favor, because that also means they're going to do other things that we can't make arguments in their favor, but we still said that they have the right to do it. So I will not do that. Okay, we got to go. By we, I mean me and the live group, the Fed Haters Club, joingmail.com. A lot of stuff about to happen here at this house. You can see our lights are down, cameras all jacked up, all that stuff. But the office is very clean. This is a clean studio right now. And it's been cleaned of a lot of our stuff right now because we got to take pictures and put this house on the market, okay? Before some people go without and have to live in poverty, you know, and not Charlie. So anyway, if you enjoyed today's show, which I'm sure you did, like 90% of you, Tell a friend, tell a family member. Also, just remember to come back and listen tomorrow, because tomorrow is Dumb Bleep of the Week. And if you're listening right now on the Fed Haters Club, make sure you get your Dumb Bleep of the Week submissions. And it's been a rather dumb week, honestly. So there should be plenty of things to talk about. We very much appreciate you. We appreciate all of our sponsors. And we appreciate you even more if you go and visit the websites of our sponsors. If you do every single thing I just told you to do, and I mean every single one of them, we will be back tomorrow morning for Dumb Bleep of the Week. Until then, have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.